Oh, we've been talking about being called to freedom. What a great thing it is. And I suppose I am so much more impressed with the notion of freedom when I see what's going on in Afghanistan. There are a lot of folks over there who understand what freedom is all about because they understand the notion of slavery. As we've talked about being called to freedom, we've talked about it from the book of Galatians. And here in Galatians, the sixth chapter, the apostle introduces an idea to us. It's not an idea that we often think about when we think about being called to freedom. Hopefully we'll begin to have a better understanding of this as we discuss what it's like to expect a harvest. In Galatians 6, beginning at verse 7, the apostle says, "Don't be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to the flesh to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let's not become weary in well-doing, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers." Now I say, we think about this law of the harvest often, and generally speaking, when we think about it, we think about it in a kind of negative way. If you sow bad seed, you will reap bad things. And there's validity to that. We need to understand that. But, you know, I think it's probably more frequent that we need to think about this in terms of freed people expecting a harvest. And I want to begin by thinking about kind of what a mess we'd made out of our lives. Frankly, my life looked like this weed-choked, overgrown house. I had made a terrible mess of things. And when you read the New Testament, I'm not alone in that. Everybody had sinned and they had made a mess out of their lives. And typically the way that we think, when we're reacting to things going awry in our lives using the broken world's methods, is that the best thing we can do is cut our losses. And so you get something that looks like this. That was once a great house, but because somebody made a mess out of things, eventually they just decided it's better to leave it. And you can, not so much in Oregon, but if you go back to the East Coast, you can find a lot of great houses that have been destroyed because somebody gave up on them. And that's what I want us to think about this morning. Giving up. Forgetting that there's a harvest. And we will reap what we sow. You know, the thing that we have to remember about life and about relationship with God is that we really do have the freedom to choose. We are never so far gone that we can't make a determination to rescue that life. Satan wants us to believe that. The broken world would say, hey, when it gets so bad, it's time for us to just cut our losses and you're beyond hope, so we're not even going to try. We're just going to let you fall to the ravages of time. If you look at the way that the leader Moses recounts the history of the children of Israel, you have to remember that this is at a time when the children of Israel had been wandering the wilderness for 40 years. They had made a mess out of their lives. They had done all kinds of things that they should not have done. And I'm sure that some of what they did was worse than what I did, and I'm sure that I did some things that were worse than what some of them did, but I so much appreciated what Mark had to say this morning. So let's not rank sins. Let's just admit the fact that they had made a mess out of their life, just like I had made a mess out of my life. And in Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, Moses, at the end of 40 years, goes back and gives them some things that they need to remember, things that they need to know. Deuteronomy 30, beginning at verse 19, he says, "Today, after all the things that have happened already, I call heaven and the earth as witnesses against you that I've set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now, choose life." He does not say to them, "You know, 40 years ago you should have chosen life, but you made such a mess out of things that now you're beyond hope." He says, "Now, choose life so that you and your children may live, you may love the Lord, listen to his voice, hold fast to him. The Lord is your life. He will give you many years in the land he swore to give to your fathers, Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You are never so far gone that you have to buy into Satan's lie, the way that the broken world looks at things, and conclude it's hopeless. There's no sense in even trying." Free people know that. And even though we know that, it's still hard for us to remember it. I laughed about deciding at some point that I was just going to give up and shoot the printer because I couldn't get the thing to work. In fact, Ted has an expression for what he had to do to the network system here at the building. He said, "I had to burn it to the ground." And then he rebuilt it. And it works. He never gave up on it. I'd have given up. Just tear it all out. Let him start all over again. But I have choice. Proverbs, the 4th chapter, beginning at verse 26. "Give careful thought to the paths for your feet. Be steadfast in all your ways. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep your foot from evil." That's not just in the past. That's a promise. It's not just a warning. Yes, it's a warning, but it's also a promise. Look at Galatians 6 again. "Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. If you sow to please the Spirit, you will reap of the Spirit." And we're going to talk about what a hard process this is. But at this point, understand that the law of the harvest says you will reap. Now in 2 Peter, the 1st chapter, and beginning at verse 4, Peter will remind us that the sin problem that we have, that led us to make a mess out of our lives, it all starts in our heads. The problem doesn't start with what we do. The problem starts with the way that we think. 2 Peter 1, well, let's begin at verse 3. He says, His divine power, that's God, has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him that called us by His own glory and goodness. He's given us everything that we need. There is no property that is so far gone that you don't have the things that you need to rebuild it. There is a harvest. Through these, He's given us great and precious promises, that through them you may participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, it's just not in the past. It's something that's ongoing. James, the fourth chapter, James reinforces this idea. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from the desires that battle within you? Where does the destructive sin come from? It's up here. You desire, you do not have, so you kill. You covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, that you may spend what you get on your pleasures. God is willing to give us what we need to make a life. James, the first chapter, at verse 14. James says, each person is tempted when they're dragged away by their own evil desire and enticed. After desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, gives birth to death. It starts here. It issues in life, but it can end here. It can change here. When we are tormented because of the mess that we've made in our lives, when we're feeling regret, when we're feeling, of course, anxiety, suspicion, when these things begin to affect us, we need to turn to God. That's what freed people do. The broken world says, you made a mess, it can't be fixed, cut your losses and give up. God's people don't have to do that. We can learn something better. John, the 8th chapter, at verse 34, Jesus says, verily I say to you, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, slaves have no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the Son sets you free, you're free indeed. There is no sense in which you must remain a slave. There's a sense in which we acknowledge that we were slaves, but we don't have to go back to that. We can respond in hope to the notion of a harvest. In 2 Corinthians 10, the apostle says, though we live in the world, we don't wage war the way the world does. See, the broken world would look at the mess we've made And they would try to fix it in one way. We don't do that. If we were trying to fix it the way the broken world approaches it, it would make sense to give up. But that's not the way we fight. Our weapons are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, we have divine power to demolish strongholds. We demolish arguments, every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Yes, we made a mess. And yes, our life, if it were to be examined using only the weapons that the world has, only the things that the broken world can offer, would be worthless. God never views it that way. The law of the harvest says, if you sow good seed, you will reap a harvest. And you know, there are a lot of times that I need to know that. There are a lot of times that I need to be reminded of that. And the place where we begin, remember where sin starts? It starts up here. So the place we begin is up here. In Philippians, the 4th chapter, at verse 8, the apostle says, finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Don't dwell in the past. Don't kick yourself because of the mess you made. Whatever you've learned or received or heard of me or seen of me in me, put it into practice. And the God of peace will be with you. To be spiritually minded, to think on these things brings life and peace. To dwell in the past, to think about the ruinous wreck, is only to produce anxiety. Romans, the 8th chapter, beginning, well, I want to begin at verse 5. He says, those who live according to the flesh have their minds set on what the flesh desires. They have their minds set on what the flesh desires, and the only way that they know how to get it is what the broken world taught them. We don't have that problem. Those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their mind set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh is death. The mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It cannot submit to God's law. Nor it does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot please God. If you're going to think that way, cut your losses and jump off the bridge. Because there's no reason. Galatians 5. I want to get back to it. Once again, in verse 16, he continues to talk about this. He says, I say, walk by the Spirit. You will not gratify the desires of the flesh. The flesh desires what's contrary to the Spirit. The Spirit what's contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. In 1 Timothy, the 6th chapter, Paul brings this all to a head. He says, you man of God, flee from all this. Pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. Fight the good fight of faith. Take hold of eternal life to which you were called when you made good confession. when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. You remember that picture that I showed you at the beginning? How the yard was overgrown, the house was overgrown, it looked like everything was falling apart. Now we have two choices. We can either abandon it, we can conclude that it's beyond hope, there's nothing that we can do, or in God, we can know that there will be a harvest. We can clean this up. Not by our own power. If it was working by our own power, we'd cut our losses. That's trying to do things with only the power that the broken world gives. But if we rely on God, we clean it up. There's no reason to let it decay. There's no reason to just leave it and let nature reclaim it. We can be successful. We can expect a harvest. Now we'll continue to talk about expecting a harvest and just how important all of that is. But that's what I want you to think about as we begin this next part of our discussion, what it's like to be called to freedom. We're going to bring this to a conclusion. If you look at your life and it looks like that first picture and you want to do something about it, we want to help you. You're going to have to avail yourself of the power of God. Put on Jesus in baptism and he will help you. We'll help you to do that. You have to decide you're going to submit yourself to God. You're going to say to God, essentially, God, I made a mess out of it. You just put me to death. Make a new one. And he'll do that. It's amazing. He'll do that. Anytime you decide. We're going to bring this discussion to a close now. And we're going to pray together. We're going to remember some of the things that God has given us.